Episode 35, Troy Cartwright. Here we go. He's got a brand new single impacting country radio November 16th, Hung Up On You. Listen, you gotta check this song out. This is like a summer song in the middle of November. I mean, this has got a little bit of tempo. I'm talking about a little bit of tempo here. And this is a fun track. You know, Cartwright, he's got a little bit of a Ryan Adams influence to him. He's got a sound. This dude's got a sound. I'm not really hearing this sound too much in country music right now. I'm glad Cartwright's bringing it to the table. Someone's really bringing this to the forefront, and I'm a fan. What can I say? Troy Cartwright, look, I'm not going to give too much of this away. I just want to dive in. Episode 35, here we go. Let's dive in. Where are you, man? Is this your house?
This is my house. Yeah, I'm in Nashville right now in my office, which I'm like so thankful that I have. Because like 2 years ago, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment, so
this is huge.
Have a little more space now. You know,
the song goes to radio. We get an office. That's what
I'm. Right.
That, and you've done a very wise thing sitting in front of a bookshelf. That's always a good move.
I've also fulfilled my lifelong dream, which you cannot see. Of like, I just decided about 2 months into the pandemic when I realized like I'm never leaving my house, that I'm gonna put my desk in the middle of the room. So I feel like a real power player, you know? My
what do you
desk
mean?
My desk faces out towards the door. Like, you know, like you see like in a movie, like they go into like the Wall Street bigwig's office and their desk is like in the middle of the room, you know, not crushed up against a wall like mine normally is.
There's a lot of breathing room.
There is.
Room to spare.
Yeah, so I just feel, you know, it makes me feel good about myself every time I sit down, which I think that's important. You got to feel good about yourself.
Man, whatever works for you, whatever gets your juices
right.
flowing, I support it. Are you a big reader? Like, you've got a lot of books behind you. Do you spend a lot of time reading?
I spend, like, way too much time reading. I'm a total book nerd.
What do you like to read?
I mean, everything. I read, to tell you the truth, I really love sci-fi, which is kind of funny, I guess, but I just think it's creative, and I love history, you know, historical fiction. And then I also like, I get a lot of song ideas from like reading fiction. So like,
you're more of a fiction person versus not.
Yeah, but like
reading more fiction.
You can read like a Steinbeck novel and you'll come out of there with like 14 song ideas. So it's kind of like my little cheat code for mining ideas to write about.
I love it. You learn more reading fiction than you do nonfiction.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a quote from somewhere.
Let me ask you something. This Cake for Breakfast music video.
Uh-huh.
Is this the first food fight you've ever actually been in? Like, a food fight is such a cliche. I've never been in a food fight. Have you ever been in a food fight before this?
I've been like peripherally in a food fight like in high school.
Really?
But nothing like this. You know what I mean? I mean, that was maybe 4 or 5 people just acting ridiculous in high school. This was like, you were going to take this cake and you were going to chunk it at this person, you know? And that was like, it was like, they mapped out the first thing you were going to do. And then after that, it was, you know,
so they tell you, okay, because there's that shot where everyone grabs the cake.
Exactly. So just for like blocking purposes, we kind of had to know what was happening. So they made sure the camera was facing the right way. But we actually shot that 3 or 4 different times.
The food fight was shot.
Yeah. There was a lot of cakes, which was kind of great.
Well, yeah. I was going to say it looked like a lot more cake than just one cake. We're led to believe in the video that's just one cake. Was that a real restaurant or was that like a set?
Yes, that was actually at the Snow White Diner in Lebanon, Tennessee. Or is it Lebanon?
And
I think it's Lebanon.
Do you have to convince them to have the food fight or did they go, this is going to be amazing press for us, do whatever you want?
You know, I was not involved with those negotiations, but we rented out the place for a few days, or no, I'm sorry, for a few hours. So I'm sure that they swore up and down that whatever we did, you know, we'd clean it up afterwards. So
unbelievable. It was a fun video. It great vibes.
It was. Yeah, man, it was, that was such a fun day.
I love it. I love it. So, okay. So Berklee College of Music, you studied music business, right?
I did. Yes.
Is there anything, like, do you look back on that? Is there anything you take away from that classroom that, like, you're signing your deal with Warner? And is there anything, like, Jeff Dornfeld said or George Howard said, and you look back and you go, oh, glad I learned that from those guys?
Well, you know, I like to joke that getting a degree in music business is like purchasing, like, a really expensive piece of toilet paper. But that's, you know, I think the main thing that I take away from it in all seriousness is you sort of just learn, like, what is normal, right? So you have a baseline to go off of as far as, like, oh, a manager, for instance, on your team should, they're asking for X percentage, and you know, because you know what the baseline is, like, oh, that's a good deal, or that's normal, or that's a terrible idea, I should run away from this. So, yeah, you know, I had obviously did not look at that deal I was signing by myself. We have a, you know, you have a lawyer and stuff to make, to look
right,
it over and all that. But
but you have a sense. You have a sense of what.
You have a general sense, and I think it just always, for me, I've always, you know, it makes you think long term. Like, hey, you know, you don't want to look back in 10 years and like have done this and now, you know, they have all your money and you don't have any. You know, you gotta protect yourself.
Do you think, because I went to Berklee also and I was a big country music fan and I really liked Berklee, but I always felt like I wish they spent a little more time, like a little more time on country music. Feels like they cover everything. And
right.
They kind of turned their nose up a little bit at country music. Did you feel that way? Or did you feel like, I'm here to learn,
you know,
something else? I already know country music.
No, I didn't know country music. I mean, that's the thing. You know, I agree with that sentiment. And, you know, maybe it's just that, as you know, having gone there, like, jazz is maybe a little easier to teach around because there's rules and then you break the rules or whatever. But I did. So the way I kind of ended up deciding to, like, definitely be an artist and not, like, work in mechanical royalties or something is I did an internship in between my junior and senior year of college. And I worked for this company called Rights Flow in New York City that was mechanical royalties. And I worked there that summer and I basically was like, I don't want to do this. Like, this is not, I thought I'd move to New York, maybe I'd get a job at, you know, a label or something. I'd work my way into the industry and then tell them, like, surprise, I'm an artist, you know? And I realized, like, that was not going to work for me. I my heart couldn't take it, you know? And so I basically had completed all of my credits to get a music business degree. And I essentially had a year left of, I could take whatever I wanted to. I just had to have a certain amount of credits. And so I begged my way into Pat Pattison's songwriting 4 class. And I had always written songs, you know, since I was like 14 years old. So I knew loosely how to write songs, but I remember the very first class that I took, it was like he reached into my skull and like flipped a switch and like the lights came on and I understood like all these things that I was doing, like I could, you know, replicate and I could do, and he really taught me how to write a song and like how words come across to a listener. And, you know, and I guess that wasn't necessarily country music that we were learning, but it was certainly, you know, if it was singer songwriter, if it was John Mayer, or if it was, you know, Jillian Welch, all that stuff. Like,
he's the most Nashville part of Berklee.
He runs.
Did you ever go on the Berklee trip?
I never went on the famous Nashville trip
that he runs.
I never went on it as a student, but I've since played a couple of their events, like when they come to town. And that's really fun. And you know, I hope, you know, someday in the future, I would love to go up to Berklee and, you know, try and get them more on board with some country music stuff. You know, I feel like there's a hole there in their music education.
Totally. Now, did Pat is notorious for making a lot of people upset because he's brutally honest and he gives a lot of criticism. Did he ever make you upset? I mean, looking back, it sounds like you have fond memories, but he's brutal, man.
He is brutal. Did you ever take a class with him?
I never took a class with him, but I know him very well, and I have a lot of friends who took classes with him.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure he was hard on me at times, but like I cannot express to you like how much I enjoyed that process, because like, I just have like a, like writing songs like is, it makes my heart like feel so full. It's such like a fulfilling experience for me. So I was going to his office hours like every week, just like, hey, I rewrote this. Is this what you meant? You know, so any criticism that he was leveling at me, if it was cruel, I certainly never took it that way, because I figured it was all in the service of getting better at writing songs, which, you know, was kind of the point of the class.
Totally. Do you do those morning pages that he obsesses over? I mean, that's like his big thing that he always tells everyone to do. Do you do those ever?
I did do them for a while. I've sort of like arrived at my own weird way of kind of getting ready to write songs. But it's interesting because that knowledge that I've gotten, like I still go back and like look at some notes sometimes, or I'll remember something from it, you know, and
put a little more furniture in there, or he always has these weird things that he says.
No, and I mean, I say that twice a week during a write. Oh man, we've got to put some furniture in this works, you know. But that was the thing that he said when I was talking to you earlier about him flipping the light switch on in my brain. He goes, all right, there's a song, it says turn down the lights, turn down the bed. He's like, immediately you picture a bedroom. There was a lamp. Which side of the bed was the lamp on? What color was the bedspread? What did the headboard look like? Like when he explained, like you can say one thing, turn down the lights, turn down the bed, and you can imagine an entire room, you know, and literally all the furniture in it. That was like the moment where I was, oh my God, like I get it. This makes so much sense, you know?
So. He's undeniable. He's good.
I know.
He's good.
I know. He's good.
So after Berkeley, I'm assuming you went back to Texas and you started touring like crazy. You were doing like 130 shows a year. This is before you had any team, anyone. Were you booking these shows yourself? How were you booking these shows?
Yeah.
You were just picking up the phone, sending emails, anything you could.
I have notebooks of like I would write the venue and I would write when I'd emailed them, and then like every Monday, I'm making up what day of the week it was, but I had a day of the week where it was like booking Monday, and I would go in and say, okay, I emailed this guy, it's been 2 weeks, I'm gonna email him again.
There was a system.
I had a system, and I think that was so important for me to learn how to do all that stuff myself, because I mean, I feel very fortunate to have help in those areas now. But you know, you kind of know what they should be doing at the same time. So, you know, nobody's ever
perspective, a little empathy.
Yeah, and nobody's ever going to care more than you. You know, and that process for me of starting out, going from open mics to playing, you know, at the local dive bar, and then on a Monday night, and then you do a good job and they ask you to come play on a Friday night, and they say, we're going to give you a percentage of the bar sales, you know, and then you graduate to getting to open for some regional acts coming through. And then like, I remember the first time we got to open for Randy Rogers' band at the Nutty Brown Amphitheater in Austin, Texas. And there was like 5,000 people there. You know, when we went on, normally a lot of times you open up the show and there's six people there, you know, they show up late, but I mean, 5,000 people, like that was an amazing moment for me, because that was like 3 or 4 years of work, you know, to get to that point. And it was just such a cool moment, you know, to get there. And then, you know, now you just realize, oh, you got to do that over and over again. You know?
Have you had a lot of moments, like I think the cliche of Berkeley is that everyone's a big fish
in a small pond in their hometown, and then they get to Berkeley and they realize, oh my God, I'm trash. I mean, I'm assuming, you know, you grew up playing music, you get to Berkeley, you have this feeling of, oh my God, I'm trash because everyone here is so much better than me. Because I think everyone feels that way. And then you move to Texas and you're at the top of Berkeley, you move to Texas, then you start to get to the top of Texas, and then you move to Nashville and you're starting all over again. Are you constantly kind of juggling that feeling of like, I'm a big fish in a small pond, I'm conquering that pond, and now I'm moving to another pond and I have to start all over?
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. And it does feel like, wow, am I like punishing myself here by constantly starting over? But I don't think I ever thought about it that way. Particularly the decision for me to move to Nashville was from a songwriting perspective, like I had just been writing by myself so much, and getting to co-write in Nashville, I realized like, man, that is like, I always want to be learning, you know? And I want to be growing. And I knew that if I came to Nashville, like, particularly as a songwriter, like those opportunities were going to be greater than what they would have been had I just stayed in Dallas. And I had been taking some trips up to Nashville, and I was like, I just felt like, man, I got to move here. Like, I can't just keep having one foot in here and one foot in here. Like, I gotta go all the way in. And, I remember when I moved, you know, I certainly had hopes of like getting a record deal and going to radio and stuff like that, but you never know, how it's going to pan out, if you will. So for it to have gone the way it has gone has been, it's been awesome. Like, it's like, it doesn't feel real sometimes.
Does this feel like, this is your first song, Hung Up On You Gang, shipped to radio.
That is
does
correct.
This feel, because I was watching some videos of young Troy last night.
Oh no.
I was watching somewhere, you were in an office in Texas of something like a cluttered desk interview, or it was called something like that.
Oh, the cluttered corner.
The cluttered Katie, corner. This was
Katie
this was,
Key, I believe.
This was cracking me up. I love this video. That dude, what seemed like he had it made in a good way, but it took, I guess, 5 years to be here now, where your first single is shipping to radio. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, do you feel like, I mean, if that kid knew the single was getting shipped to radio, is that like huge,
wouldn't,
right? I mean,
wouldn't believe it.
Wouldn't believe it.
No. I mean, I have like, I just have like, you write down like goals you want to achieve, and I'll be looking for something else, and I'll come across like from 2016, like some goals I had. And I think in 2017, one was like, talk to an A&R person at a record label, that was making it to me, just having a conversation. And to be here, like, going from the kid who was riding around in the back of my mom's minivan, listening to Third Eye Blind with my headphones, like rocking out with my eyes closed, to getting to do that in real life, and go to radio. And I have, at some point, I guess I'll be driving around and my song will come on the radio. And I don't even know what that will feel like, I mean, I'm sure it'll feel pretty awesome, but like, yeah, I mean, it's, it's literally a dream coming true, so it feels pretty wild.
Unbelievable. The new song, Hung Up On You, I love the song, I love the chorus, I love that kind of, I guess it would be the pre-chorus, that kind of like, da-da-da, deja
sure.
vu. I like that. I mean, is that like, were you kind of thinking about that rhythmically, that part, or like, were you trying to get a feeling or a flow there? Because that feels like a big flow. I don't
sure.
know what you call that. It feels good, though.
It does feel good. And what I've always kind of liked about this song was I wrote it with this husband and wife duo, Solomon and Lauren Olds, and like, none of us knew the country formula necessarily. We're just trying to write a song that was fun and catchy and that seemed true, and that's like, I think writing songs in general is throwing darts at the board, and hoping you hit a bullseye every once in a while. And there's just some sort of like magic and or like magic in the DNA of the song that has allowed it to just constantly kind of surprise me, honestly, with its success. I never want to be surprised, but you know, you write hundreds of songs and some of them, maybe the best song you've ever written does nothing, and a song that you thought, well, I don't know about this one, takes off. And with Hung Up on You, I always kind of had a feeling that it was special, but it's cool to see that sort of, you know, be borne out over the last year that it's been out. You know, people really seem to gravitate. So that's a great feeling.
Absolutely. Well, I know we have only 20 minutes. I feel like we could have done two of these. Troy, yeah. Thanks for taking the time, buddy. Can't wait to hear the song on the radio, and and I can't wait to see where it goes, because I know it's just getting started.
Man, thank you, and yeah, we'll have to do this again sometime. I'd love to talk to you more about your experience at Berklee and all that stuff.
I'll tell you all about it. No, yeah, that's great. I had a great time there. That's and great. I like being awesome. In Boston. It was a fun city to be in, right?
Man, it was the best. It was the best. You know, it's weird because everyone leaves. After
everyone
college,
leaves, right?
I felt like so.
I haven't been back, and I don't think I have many. I'd love to see a couple professors, but
yeah, I went back in August last year for a radio event actually, and then and then I was like, I'm gonna go to Back Bay and do all the stuff, and I never went. I didn't have time, and I don't know if you saw, but the Poorhouse closed.
I know that we used to always go to the Poorhouse. That was the place we'd always go.
That kept me afloat. You know,
I mean, know
the $5
and the nachos
burgers,
there,
and now it's gone. So I feel a bit foolish, but you know, maybe some of those things are better left as a snapshot in time. You know,
I would love to see a show at the House of Blues, and I would love to go to Dumpling Palace. I don't know if that was there back then, but Dumpling Palace had the best Chinese food. That's all I want to do. That's it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. So, you know, I'm sure. You know, if all goes well, one day we can make those dreams come true again, you know.
Returning to Boston. That's the dream in a global pandemic. I love it.
That's right.
Well, stay right, well, Zach. Buddy, and I'll be listening for the song and talk
awesome,
to you soon.
Man. You're the best. All right, I'll talk to you soon. See you, Zach.
There you have it, episode 35. Thanks to Troy for coming on to the show. Thanks to you all for listening. Really appreciate it. Check this song out, Hung Up on You. This is Country Radio, November 16th. Check it out on Spotify now. It's already out. Give this thing a listen. This is a fun track. I think you're going to like it. Hung Up on You, Troy Cartwright. Check it out. The Zach Kuhn Show is mixed by Sam Heyman, and our theme music is by Justin Johnson. If you want more content from us, you can subscribe to my newsletter at NashvilleBriefing.com, or you can follow us on socials, everything at Nashville Briefing. You can follow me on Instagram at Zach Kuhn Official. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye.